Bringing hope to many around the globe. Transforming lives into legacies. Living Word with Pastor Mensah Otabil. And now, today's word.
Now, notice that it doesn't say according to the power in you, but the power at work. So it's possible to have the power in you, but the power in you is not at work. So the power of the believer comes from within. That is point number one. Point number two, the power within the believer must be put to work. It's not the power sitting inside you, but it is the power at work. Does every believer have the power of God inside them? Yes. Is the power of God according to the same power that raised Christ from the dead? Yes. Is that power working in every believer's life? Not exactly. Because having the power in you does not mean it is at work. It is being energized. The challenge of every child of God is how to take the power in him and make the power in him work. Because if the power in you does not work, it will be sitting there doing nothing. And that is why when it talks about Jesus, God, it says, according to the power that God worked, even God himself, he worked the power. And God answers our prayer according to the power that is at work in us. Now, to illustrate the power within and the power at work, I'm going to take you to a story in the life of Jesus Christ in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5, verse 29 and 30. But I'll give you the background to that story. Then we'll read verse 29 and 30. The background to the story is that Jesus is going to Jairus' house to minister to Jairus' daughter. Whilst Jesus is going, there is a crowd, and the crowd gathers around Jesus, makes it difficult for him to move, so his movement is slow. And in the process, a woman who has had an issue of blood for 12 years heard that Jesus was in the neighborhood, not visiting her, but in the neighborhood, and was going somewhere else. She was not on the appointment list. If you ask Jesus' secretary, I don't know who he was, maybe Andrew. Hey, Mr. Andrew, where is the master going today? He would not say, going to visit a woman with an issue of blood. He would say, at this moment, we're going to Jairus' house, and next assignment, we'll go somewhere else. The woman is not on the appointment. But she said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of his garment, although I don't have appointment, I will be made well. He didn't even say he will make me well. He says, if I touch it, I will be made well. In other words, I'm determining everything happening. All right. Now, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she was healed. Now, I want you to, let's read the verse now. Mark 5, 29 to 30. It says, immediately, not next day, not next 30 minutes, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. That's what she felt. But what happened for her to feel what she felt? The next verse. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? Now, in this passage, we see the difference between the power within and the power released. The power within and the power at work. Jesus had the power in him. He had the power in him. That power in him was resident. It was power to heal the sick. Yet there were many people around him that were not getting healed. Many people were pushing. As a matter of fact, when Jesus said that, Peter said, "Sir, what kind of question is this? We're all touching you. We are touching you." Peter said, we're all touching you. Jesus said, no. Somebody touched me. And power has left me. Now, how come other people's touch did not bring power release? You cannot connect electricity with rope. Rope looks like wire. But you can't say, well, I need to move the power from my service board and I need to power something in my house. Then you go and take a rope. Now, you can even thicken the rope and use a fisherman's rope. Still, it can't conduct electricity. You can't conduct electricity with your shoe. So the fact that there is power does not mean you can draw the power to your need. There has to be something you do that draws the power and makes the power work. In Jesus' case, did he have power? Yes. Was the power in him? Yes. Could the power heal? Yes. How come people were touching him and there was no healing? Because they were using rope. They were using the wrong connection. They were using the wrong connection. And the wrong connection will not affect the power. So, God's power is released when demand is placed on it. God's power is released when demand is placed on it. Anytime Jesus healed people, he placed demand on the power within him. So he would say something and the healing would take place. But in this passage, this woman did not wait for Jesus to place the demand. She placed the demand. Now, you may call it illegal connection. She did an illegal connection. The house owner did not make the connection, but the next door neighbor found a way to go to the house and connect power to his house. That is when you are in your house and paying double bill. You say, my meter is running too fast. My meter is running too fast. It's ECG. No. Somebody with an issue of blood is tapping into your power. So, this woman teaches us that even when Jesus does not place demands on the power in him, outside people can still place demands on the power in him. Because the power moves only when you demand it. There are people with electricity in their house. All that they demand they place on the electricity is two bulbs. Two bulbs, low energy. Bulbs, low energy. It's not even high energy, low energy. Some people to two bulbs have a fan. Now, when they added a fan, the electricity didn't say, hey, you are worrying me, or what are you doing to me? Now, from two bulbs to one fan. No, because it has the capacity to power a fan too. Now, the person may add a television. The electricity will not complain. He may add a microwave. The electricity will not complain because it has power to meet all those needs. But if you place two bulbs demand on it, it will give you two bulb power. Now, this woman realized there's more than two bulbs and one fan in that man going there. There is enough power in him to touch me, and I am going to connect my need to his power, whether he has called me or not, because I have the right cable. I have the right cable. I have the right cable. So, active faith connects God's power to our need. Active faith is the right cable to use. Faith is like an electric cable that connects electricity from a power source to an outlet, then to an equipment. Being near to a power source does not by itself connect you to the power. There are villages living near where Ghana generates power who don't have electricity. Some of them actually work at the electricity factory. Some of them actually go into the place where the power is generated. They see the power. Whatever they see, whether the power is flowing. See, the power is flowing. It's going to Accra. It's going to other people, Otabel's house. It's going to other people. And they are watching the power go and they say, oh, God, my God, my God, why has that forsaken me? No. It's not the power forsaking you. Your house is near. But the people who generated the power, for whatever means, all things being equal, they decided that they won't connect some to you. All things being equal. Now, the problem then is not proximity to the power. You see, this is where many Christians miss it. They think, because I'm close to the power, I have a connection. No. Being close to the power and having the power in you and sitting in you doesn't mean your equipment will be powered. You must have a connection. And for us spiritually, our connector is faith. The power at work in you is not going to solve your problems. That is why we receive different degrees of miracles. Have you sometimes heard somebody share a testimony and say, aren't we all Christians? Don't we all read the same Bible? Isn't the same God? Yes. But you have two low energy bulbs in your house and he's drawing microwave power. It's not about God discriminating or not discriminating. It is the demand you place on the power. The demand you place on the power. Now, let me show you two more illustrations. It's in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 20. And then later we'll look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. Two more illustrations. Luke 5, 17 to 20. Now, it happened on a certain day as he, Jesus, was teaching. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of God was present to heal them. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers of the law who were sitting there, the power of God was present to heal them. But nobody was getting healed. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they could bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And later on, raised the man from being paralyzed. What did Jesus see? Their faith. What did the faith connect to? The power which has been there all along, which was present to heal, but nobody was getting healed. In this place, there is power to transform a poor person to a rich person. There is power. As a matter of fact, that power is inside you. There is power to solve all your problems. The Bible says the power in you is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ever ask or think about. Now, if all you are asking is, God, I want jollof, you will get jollof. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. Give me 20 cities. He'll give you 20 cities. That is what you are drawing. Because some of us call God very long names. You are the El Shaddai, Jehovah Jireh. You give God all the appellations. Please, Lord, 20 cities. Now, if you're going to ask 20 cities, make your prayer short. I mean, why is this Jehovah Jireh? I mean, why are you? Okay. So, the power is present. Nobody was healed, but faith connected and the guy got healed. Second illustration, or this actually the third one, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering upon the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now look at it. The Spirit of God is the power of God. The Spirit of God is the power of God. Spirit of God is moving. Spirit of God is moving. But the Bible says the earth is without form and void. Darkness is upon the face of the deep. But the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. Some people think if the Spirit of God will move and everything will be all right. No. Things won't be all right simply because the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving, but the earth is without form or void. That's why sometimes people are prayed for, they fall under the power and they come back still broke. Did the Spirit move? Yes. Did they receive a touch of the Holy Spirit? Yes. People go for meetings and they are rolling on the floor. Roll up and roll down. Roll up, roll down. They get up, they still have problems. Did the Spirit move? Yes. But they were rolling too much, they weren't thinking. That's why when I pray for people, I don't want them to roll. I say, stand and think. Stand and think. You are receiving power. Do something with the power. Don't roll on the floor with the power. What are you doing with the power rolling on the floor? The power has come to work and you are rolling on the floor. Get up. Now, is the Spirit of God present? Yes. Is all power in the Spirit? Yes. Can the Spirit change every circumstance? Yes. But the earth is without form and void, and darkness is upon the face of the deep, until God made a demand on that power. Let there be light. And shoom, light came from that Spirit. And there was light. Until you connect to that power and make demand on it, it will be sitting there doing nothing.